podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
Pitch forward. Touchdown. Shovel pass. Trey Burton.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Ho.
You nail that like a split hole.
Shake it back.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Trubisky to the end zone. Touchdown.
Obsession.
My oh my.
Being obsessed.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
Well, how about that? The Bears win, and out of nowhere, Ernie Skatton, our guy, drops a new open with the highlights from tonight. That sounded
and we
good.
Are best friends. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
We just become best friends.
Do we just become best friends? That happened a while ago. Hey, the Bears win a game they were supposed to win.
How about that?
That happened.
It's not happened for a while.
It didn't seem to happen much.
What's
under
the
John
stat
Fox?
From the John Fox era? They were 1-8 in games they were favored in, and I think that one win was against the Cleveland Browns of all teams on Christmas Eve.
And it makes you think, how were they ever favored in 8 games?
Or how bad
or
were those
games?
Other teams? No. How bad was that competition, boo?
Oof. Anyway, the Bears win 24-17. This is the Hogan Johns podcast. I believe one of us predicted the score to be 24-17. The other wanted to make that the score.
I did.
But didn't pull the trigger.
I did. That's impressive, my friend. You should pat yourself on the back for that one.
It is the only time that has happened in 8 years.
No one ever gets the score right.
I never do. It's the first time. And it's probably going to be the last time. So I'm going to soak
it
in.
New year. New coach. New team.
Well, hopefully.
New predictions.
Hopefully these games are. Yeah, new predictions. Hopefully they are a little bit more predictable. All right. Well, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can get our reaction from the game on there, get our links to coverage. And don't forget about the voicemail line, 312-222-5050. Those were coming in hot tonight, and still room for you to jump into the voicemail line, 312-222-5050. Best ones make Thursday's podcast as we look ahead to week 3 already. It's going to be a short week. We will get there. But for now, we recap this one. We've got to start with the quarterback. Let's just make a ground rule disclaimer here on this podcast. I don't really care how it's done on other radio shows or in the newspapers or whatever. But for us, we're going to evaluate this play by play. One play at a time. There's a cliche for you during the games. And then when the game's over, we're going to evaluate it game by game. We're not going to make any grand proclamations on the guy's career after 14 starts. We're not going to compare him to Patrick
you know
Mahomes.
How absurd that is to do anyway.
It's unbelievable. Just, I know. But a lot of people are doing
absurd.
It.
Absurd.
I mean, second
don't do it.
Second
don't do
quarter,
it.
According to Twitter, I mean, Mitch should have been benched. And cut and just give up on
it. I got the Chase Daniel tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Should let him learn behind Chase Daniel for 1 or 2 years.
It's.
I get the sit and learn approach. I do, but it's too late to do that, people. Let's not be absurd about this. Let's think things through.
And the comparisons to Watson and Mahomes are just going to be inevitable because they're all playing every week and fine. But it's conveniently, no one seems to want to point out that Watson's actually not been that good the first 2 weeks of the season.
My favorite comparison is the old Dak Prescott. You know, remember that? People were up in arms. How come the Bears couldn't draft this guy? What were they thinking?
Sure.
And now look at him.
He's a guy.
He's just a guy. He's average. Offensive line isn't the same. Zeke Elliott's not the same. No one to throw to outside. Be patient, people. Be patient.
So, just take it game by game. So, here we are tonight. This game. Mitch Trubisky was up and down.
Hot and cold.
Up and down. It wasn't great. There were some throws he'd certainly like to have back. There were some moments where you're like, where is he running around? What is he doing? The throw that almost got intercepted at the goal line would have been a killer.
Yeah.
I thought that was the biggest kind of boneheaded throw of the night. Now, there was also a lot of good things, I thought. Some plays that he made with his feet, that he made with his arm. He seems in control of the offense. he was making the right checks to the line of scrimmage. He was making the right reads once the play started, whether it was an RPO or the shovel pass to Burton. He read the end correctly, got the touchdown. So a lot of good, probably too much bad in this game. But, man, we are a long, long ways away from figuring out really how good he will be.
It's two games in a new offense. I don't care what he did last year. Look, some of it matters. A lot of it doesn't. New coaches, new messages, new philosophies, new players to throw to. Look, the only person that's the same for him, really, is Dave Ragone. I know Jordan Howard and all those guys are back. Some of them are back. But, look, all his top receivers are different. This is going to be an adjustment. Maybe it's going to take longer than some people want, but everybody's got their own different paths. I think if you focus on some of the positives, that'll help. To me, I thought his worst throw, you mentioned the one into the end zone, which was nearly a pick six. If that happens, that's just disastrous.
That would have been bad.
To me, I think the one that's going to really rub Mitch Trubisky or bother him for a couple days is the overthrow to Anthony Miller over the middle. I mean, that was a touchdown.
Taylor Gabriel?
Taylor Gabriel, yes. Yeah. Taylor Gabriel over the middle. No one even close to him. You get that ball in a guy's hands like that, a dangerous player, a speedy player like that, that's six. Yeah. I thought they lost a touchdown there.
Yeah, I think it was a touchdown. I also thought he had Anthony Miller in the second quarter. The play right before, he almost threw the pick at the goal line. It looked like I can't wait to see the film actually on this play, because I thought he had him open, and then he decided not to pull the trigger, and then had him open a second time and tried to throw it to him, and the throw was off target. I thought there was a chance to score there. So, look, I think the Bears could have been up 21-0 at halftime with better quarterback play.
That's fair. Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. I think that's fair. So you can look at it like, the Bears are lucky that the defense bailed them out tonight, which we'll get to the defense in a little bit. You could say that maybe the defense won this one. I think you could also look at it like, you know, 9 times out of 10, he hits Taylor Gabriel on that throw that you referenced to. Maybe 7 times out of 10, he throws the right pass to Anthony Miller in traffic in the end zone there and gets a touchdown. So these are correctable things. It's not like he's lost out there. There are moments where he doesn't look like a polished quarterback, but that's because he's not one yet.
No, he's not. He's clearly not that. There is going to be another Trey Burton screen grab. I'm calling it right now. Screenshot. It's coming. Do you recall the catch that Jordan Howard made on the sideline that was nearly intercepted on their opening drive?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So if you go and watch that back, there's a certain number 80 wide open again, waving his arms. I could see it already. Another screenshot. But that's okay. You know what? The Seahawks blitzed, and he got the ball out quick, and that may have been his hot route. That may his first read in that situation was probably Jordan Howard. Turned immediately to him and threw the ball. Threw a dart. Got it through there in a tight window. Turned out to be a big play for the Bears, but I could see it already. The screenshot, it's coming. Screenshot part two, it's coming.
It's probably going to be one of those. I mean, first of all, you could do that pretty much any game in the NFL, always. Sometimes they look worse than others. We don't need to go back into it. They were talking about that on the Monday Night Broadcast, by the way, tonight, that screen grab. He's just got to get more experience. There's certain plays here and there. I thought there was a 3rd and 10 where he tucked it, picked up 7. They had to punt, and that was in the fourth quarter. And I thought, you know, if he starts to look like he's going to run it, draws in the linebacker or safety, I forget which one it was, then he could have popped it over that guy's head, and Allen Robinson was wide open. That's just the kind of stuff that you're not going to know to do until you don't do it, and it's on film. And then you say, oh, that's a teaching moment there, and you learn from it. So, I don't know. There's a lot of people freaking out, probably thinking that, you know, we're just Mitch Trubisky apologists.
I don't think we are.
I don't think we are. I don't think he played that well tonight.
No.
Like, I think
I agree.
Was not a great game.
And there are some throws you're just like, oof.
But I am encouraged that it's not like we're sitting here going, oh, man, he just doesn't have it. Like, DeShone Kizer just doesn't have it, okay? That was obvious right away. That's why even the Browns were like, okay, we're trading you. That's not the situation the Bears are in here at all. The physical tools are there. Frankly, some of the athleticism he shows when he's scrambling is there. there are moments to grow from. There's experience that needs to be had, but he does not look lost, and I think that that's a positive.
Even his first interception, the underthrow to Anthony or Allen Robinson. I'm getting all the receivers messed up tonight.
Well, it's nice that there's not just one anymore.
Yes.
Or zero.
Right. Trey McBride.
There's actually...
His underthrow to Trey McBride. Oh, thank God
like,
that is
like
over.
Last year, you weren't going to confuse Trey McBride with Marcus Wheaton.
No.
Okay, so...
Marcus Wheaton didn't even play. Anyway, we digress. His underthrow to Allen Robinson, a true number one target for him.
He looks great, by the way.
Yes, he does. I immediately thought of Matt Nagy's message where he wants him to take vertical shots if he sees the right matchups to go for it. That's what I saw. He underthrew the ball, and he's the first one to say it after the game. Turned into an interception for the Seahawks. That is the perfect case of him listening to this coach. Take a risk. Take a shot. Trust your defense to bail you out if you fail. And it's exactly what happened. Twice. It's exactly what happened. In terms of the Bears' defense bailing out Mitch Trubisky today.
But that's the great thing about this defense. They're going to buy time for Trubisky to make these mistakes and figure it out. And maybe by week 7, week 8, it all's clicking better. And the Bears aren't 0-7 at that point. You know what I mean? Because they have a good defense. So everyone can look at this and be like, oh, man. You know, this defense is just bailing out this offense, and it's time to panic about it all working. I mean, did you see some of that play calling from Matt Nagy? That touchdown drive in the second half was, you have a quarterback who's struggling that I don't know that you trust to throw the ball deep at this point, and no running game. And he came up with a drive. I thought that was all Nagy there.
Go ahead.
Short passes, getting it to guys with speed in space, that's an extension of the running game. So the handing it off to Jordan Howard wasn't working because the Seahawks were selling out on it. So he found different ways to get fast guys the ball in space and methodically move right down the field. And you know what? Mitch executed all of that perfectly.
What I like about that is he showed faith in his quarterback. Faith in a kid who was struggling. Like you said, there were some very bad throws today, some questionable decisions, but to show some confidence in the kid when you needed to, that sends a message not only to him, but to that entire offense who has been hot and cold. Look, there's going to be some plays that you're going to look on tape, and again, whether they're screenshot part two or what or not, where you're not going to like Mitchell Trubisky's game tonight, but there's going to be some games that are some plays that are removed from the score sheet. The completion to Anthony Miller that was called back for illegal formation. Remember that?
Yeah.
The third quarter, 14-yard gain, rolled to his left, eluded some pressure, stepped into it, got in right formation, or got in the right position, delivered a nice strike. That's a great play, but it's not going to be on the score sheet because it was called back because of a penalty.
Well, how about that? He multiple times tonight, Mitch Trubisky showed he can turn left.
Oh, yeah, that was a criticism of throwing left, right?
The touchdown pass to Miller.
Yes, yes. Nice.
He rolled out to his left and threw a strike on the move. That was a great route by Anthony Miller, by the way.
He could be a good player.
He could be. There's positives. I mean, and guess what? You have another week to figure it out. I spent my morning watching the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, boy.
Woof.
I don't know how they're going to score.
It's
I don't
like
know.
My word today.
How are they going to score on the Bears' defense? So my point is, I think you have another week to make some mistakes. Hopefully you don't. That Bucs game in week 4, I don't think we were given that much credit before
the season. Magic show's gotta, it's gotta run out.
It looks like a tougher game than we thought, though.
But come on,
to mention that team blew out the Bears last year.
Yeah, they got
when they were awful.
Yeah, they got some good receivers. I get it. That's a different Bears team, though. Come on. Look, they got some talented receivers. I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but just to go with the next week briefly, I feel like Mitch Trubisky needs that game where it's just completely just clicking for him, where he's going against a completely overmatched opponent. It was going to happen tonight for whatever reason, prime time, again, under the lights, you know, his defense playing well, Russell Wilson on the other side. But maybe a trip to Arizona where things are a bit more calm and nobody's high about the Cardinals. It could be a good day for him to build confidence against a pretty lackluster opponent.
Well, look, the reality is this is going to be another week of doubting Mitch Trubisky. I mean, he has his doubters, and people seem to have firmly planted their flags on one side or the other. As I said at the top of this podcast, we're going to go game by game here and just tell you what we see. But until Mitch has that breakout game where he looks like a dominant quarterback, and maybe that'll never happen. Maybe that'll never happen. But until it does, those doubters are going to have fuel, and I think after this game tonight, there's just going to be more fuel for another week.
It's so absurd to make grand proclamations about a player in his 14th start. And
second in a real offense.
Yes. Again, that's the key number. There's a lot of things that he learned last year that he had to unlearn. A lot of messages from John Fox. He had to get out of his house.
My friend Lawrence Holmes put it on Twitter the other day to me. He said, beat the Fox out of him.
Yes.
I love that phrase.
Yes, yes. Today was a good step. Let him throw it around a bit. It does not look pretty all the time. Can I say one thing about the fans? I thought they were going to boo him at one point, a couple points in this game. And I could feel they kind of restrained themselves.
Good.
Did you notice any loud
I didn't
boos?
Hear any boos.
No, only Brandon Marshall got him.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall got booed.
But Mitch Trubisky got off, I don't want to say easy, because I think they shouldn't be booing him. No,
yet.
It's unfair.
That would be ridiculous.
Yes.
So
yes.
Good for the fans here to know the difference and know not to do that. How about this Bears defense, though?
For real.
They look like a top three defense.
For real. For real. I get that the Seahawks were lacking some weapons, and I think Kyle Fuller really needs to step up his game a bit.
Yeah, not a big fan of Kyle Fuller's start to the season.
But Russell Wilson's still a pretty darn good quarterback. He's elusive. He buys time. He makes something out of nothing frequently, and he's done that his entire career. Since he's entered the league, I think he's fourth in pass rating, and he's only trailing like Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and I forget who else. Someone else very, very good if you're talking about those top-notch quarterbacks. Look, is it a marquee win? I don't know, but there are some pivotal moments where you need your defense to come through for you, and they did it twice. The Prince Mukamara pick six, and then Danny Trevathan, the sack strip fumble.
Yeah, those are big plays, and Prince did what Kyle Fuller couldn't do last week. And frankly, what Prince hasn't done in 3 years. That was his first interception.
First pick six in the NFL in his career.
And he's had a long career, so that was a big-time play. And by the way, a great play by Prince. Did you watch the replay closely? A lot of times on those pick sixes that are read like that with the horizontal pass to the sideline, they just sort of cheat and read the quarterback the whole time and just happen to break on it. He read the wide receiver first. He was reading his keys, and he realized that, and actually I think it was the running back, right? Penny?
Yeah.
Who he's matched out. But he realized that Penny wasn't going anywhere. And then his eyes shifted to, hey, is the ball coming? Because I think it might be. Saw it, bam, gone.
Yep. He said,
that's how you play cornerback.
Yeah, he said after the game that play was actually on their tip sheet. Well, they get these quizzes from Fangio and Donatel every week in terms of plays, frequent plays that you're seeing in certain situations, and that was on there. So he was joking around like, I'm glad I studied. I'm glad I passed my test.
Well, you could
see. He remembered it.
ESPN had a great shot at him, and you could see his eyes, and he was reading what Penny was doing, and then his eyes shifted to the left to see if the ball was coming. It was, and he broke on it. That was a tremendous play. On the other side, Kyle Fuller, he's not playing horrible, but he's had now two opportunities the last 2 weeks. I think, actually, last week I'm not even going to bring up, but that Packers touchdown was a great throw by Rodgers. Tonight was a great throw by Russell Wilson, but he could have gotten his head around. And that's something Kyle Fuller needs to do better, not just tonight, but in general. Good coverage, not great coverage. Not the type of coverage that gets you an enormous contract that he got.
Yes.
So I don't think it's been a great start to the season for Kyle Fuller. Not a bad start, but not a great start.
You need a guy who has that type of contract to make plays in that situation. You pay him to make plays in that situation. And in back-to-back weeks, he has failed in those situations. And not against... Look, I think Tyler Lockett is a pretty good receiver. I don't think Geronimo Allison is all that bad. But they're not exactly your top-tier wide receivers. That's not Julio Jones he's going against.
Well, and even if you're going to excuse him for those two plays, the drop interception last week was killer. Bears would be 2-0 if they had it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just tough. But, man, Vic Fangio, should send like a sympathy card to Jermaine Effetti or something. I don't, you know, like a box of, a goodie bag or something. I just feel bad for the guy. He just you watch the tape from week one against the Broncos, and it was just like, how are the Seahawks going to stop Khalil Mack? And they tried to help. They tried to help, and there just wasn't anything they could do.
They would put those tight ends in the near slots, so Khalil Mack had the wide in his alignment. But I feel like that made things worse for Jermaine Effetti. Like, it was basically just a chip block, you know, something to slow him down. But because of his wide angle, he basically had like a 5 or 7 sprint into Jermaine Effetti, where he just
and
took
the
him
set
and
was
drove
just
him back
so soft.
Oh, I feel so bad for him.
Khalil Mack.
John Gruden, what are you thinking?
That's a dude right there. I mean, that guy is on a night where they honored Brian Urlacher here at halftime. That's the best. Khalil Mack's the best player they've had since Urlacher, and it's not even close, really. But meanwhile, a couple other things. Keem Hicks continues to be the most underrated defensive lineman in the league. He's pretty damn good too. Bears could have a couple Pro Bowlers there. Leonard Floyd, okay, I'm going to give him a little bit of pass because he still has that club, but he needs to play better. He's not winning one-on-one battles right now, so maybe it has to do with the club. I don't know.
I thought he was pretty good against the run. There are some plays that will show up on film that he'll like.
Okay. And then I'll give Aaron Lynch some credit.
Yeah, how about that?
For a guy that I've just been like, I don't know how to evaluate him because I haven't seen him play, he had a pretty good game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he had the first sack of the game for the Bears, did he not?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so not too bad. Kind of a slow night for Roy Robertson-Harris, but to me, in terms of defense and Urlacher being here, Roquan Smith plays with some thump, man.
Yeah.
He is fast, and you can feel his wallop. The Seahawks definitely felt his wallop.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the – we said this when they drafted him. He's not actually physically the biggest linebacker that you see.
Oh, but he closes fast and hard.
But he's – runs so fast, sideline to sideline, it hits like a bigger guy. So he's one of those dudes that just plays bigger than he actually is. I had a feeling he was going to get the start all week. It just seemed obvious. And Matt Nagy said after the game that, yeah, on Wednesday when they got out there to practice, or I guess that would have been Thursday or whatever it was, when they finally got out there to practice this week and you know, they're going up against the scout team. They wanted him to get the starters reps, and he did. And, you know, he weren't many splash plays per se, but he made plays. No question about it.
He's fast. He changes the complexion over the middle of the defense. And Nick Kukowski did get out there and get some playing time. Danny Trevathan, I think, got nicked for a little bit. Trevathan did lead the team in tackles. Roquan Smith was second just by one. I think they had him down for 7 solo tackles.
7 solo, and that's it.
Yeah. No combined. You know, he was around the ball a lot. You know when coaches' reviews come in, that may double. you know that goes. But look, were there splash plays, like you said? No, but I would feel good about his first start. For a guy that missed the entire portion of Bourbonnais, he showed something tonight. Definitely showed something tonight. No, definitely did not look. No.
As he gets more and more playing time, those instincts will be there, and he'll start to make more of the splash plays. So, good start for him. No question.
To me, the only thing that's alarming about the Bears' defense is, look, Prince Mukamara's covered things up with that pick six, but you want better play from your secondary. You do.
Yeah. I think so.
Maybe a lot of that's just pointing fingers at Kyle Fuller right now because of the contract he got and the drafted reception last week. But, yes, I think you're starting to expect more out of them. I think the challenge is in terms of when Vic Fangio has his meetings, he's going to be pointing his fingers at the secondary.
Especially with how good the pass rush has been. You know, that should be opening up more opportunities for the secondary to make more plays on the football, whether it's just getting knocking down passes even. Let alone interceptions. So I think that's a good point and something they'll be focused on this week. I don't know who's going to play quarterback for the Cardinals. I mean, Sam Bradford just...
You're not going to trot Josh Rosen out there against the Bears defense.
I don't think you can, but he might be their only hope.
You know what this is setting up for,
Adam?
You're
not going to put
Mike Glennon revenge game. It's my year.
I will say, that would be classic Bears.
It'd be so compelling, though, too.
How Bears would it be to lose to Mike Glennon next week?
Gosh, well, then just throw the towel for the rest of the season if that happens. I cannot foresee that happening.
I can't either.
I think they would rattle his cage quite well, as we've seen it can happen last year in his four starts. But I don't know if Sam Bradford's the answer. I don't know what's going on out there. I know David Johnson's on my fantasy team, and I am regretting taking him with the fourth overall pick.
Well, all they do is run him up the middle. They don't. There's like no creativity. I think Mike McCoy's their offensive coordinator now. What happened to that guy?
What happened to that team? Bruce Arians leaves and just...
Yeah. Well, Bears have a winnable game. I'm wondering what the spread is. I don't know. I have no idea what it might be, but I'm going to guess...
The Bears will be favored.
By six? Five and a half, six?
Five and a half, six? I was going to say three, three and a half.
I'm curious. I don't know what the line is right now. I'm sure someone will tweet at us as soon as they listen to this. But I'm if it's not there, I'm going to say by kickoff, it's at least five and a half.
Okay, because it's Chicago money. Okay, I get it. I know a lot of people going out there. To me, the only thing I want to see in that game, like I think the defense would be just fine against whoever they trot out there at quarterback. You want something for Mitch Trubisky to really build on. We talked about it in early on in the show. There's some good throws in this game. There were some really bad throws in this game, but I feel like that Cardinals game could really set up for his, oh, here's the hopeful game. Here's the signs of him, of things clicking for him. Yes, it's an inferior opponent, but he needs it for his confidence.
Yeah. All right, well, plenty of time to break that thing down later in the week. We will do that. Before we get out of here, I want to give you Matt Nagy's press conference. Always like to get you one of the press conferences from after the game. Hey, it's his first win. The game ball afterwards.
Oh, they have a Cubs like dance party after wins now.
Did you see it? I heard about it.
I did not see it. I've just heard about it.
Well, Tariq Cohen's okay. Left the game with an ankle, but Matt Nagy said he's fine because he was dancing around.
Doing backflips in the middle of the circle.
There's like a disco ball, I heard.
It's very Cubs-esque. Very Cubs-esque. How do you feel about that, Mr. White Sox?
I feel like the Cubs are a pretty good baseball team that win a lot, so that's probably good for the Bears.
Do you think Vic Fangio borrowed Joe Maddon's disco ball? They're good friends.
They are good friends.
Does Vic Fangio own
How does that conversation go? Hey, Joe, can I borrow your disco ball?
No, I can't do the Mike Glennon now. You need your soundboard for these post-game shows.
All right. We're making progress, but we're not getting that far. All right. Here is Matt Nagy after the game, Bears beating the Seahawks 24-17.
All right, so that was a good team win for us, for our defense to be able to come out and be as dominant as they were. That's what we like to see. You know, that was our challenge to them specifically, along with the rest of the team, is to play four quarters. And so I think you felt that, you saw it. I know I did, and just extremely physical, and then our offense again, very similar to last week. I thought there's some times where we got in some ruts, but we can pick that up and get a little better. So it was a fun night, and I want to really just thank the fans. I think it was just so awesome. It all started with the national anthem, which was just so cool. It gave you goosebumps, and it was just so neat to be a part of that. And then every time our defense got out there, just to hear how loud it got, and it's that 12th man, and we talk about to our players that this is a place when our opponents come into Soldier Field, we want our opponents to feel it, and we want them to, you know, hey man, this is a tough place to play, and a lot of that's due to the fans, and so we appreciate all their support tonight. It was they helped us out a lot getting this victory, and then of course also when 54 is here today with the ring ceremony, pretty good stuff, and so. Just all around a good night, and but we're going to just keep growing from this and learn from things.
How would you assess Mitch's game?
So I thought Mitch was, again, he got to a point. We started out with around a 97-yard drive to start the game, 96, and ended up with a touchdown. So that was good, similar to last week. And then I thought that for the most part, again, in and out of the huddle, making quick decisions, getting the ball out on time. He had the interceptions, and the one got tipped. So those are hard. Those are difficult. And then the other one was a shot downfield, and the kid made a hell of a play. Again, the thing that we're learning in this process is that we're on this next play mentality. And so I'm really proud with how he handled himself from play one until that end of that fourth quarter. Every time after any play, good or bad, on that series, or after the series, he was phenomenal. I mean, his attitude was great. He didn't worry about anything. And so that's growth right there. And that makes me happy to know that that he understands that, hey, there's going to be interceptions. But at least we're doing this thing and we're attacking, we're stretching, and let's make them make a good play. And you know, more so than not, we'll make better plays.
Did you attempt to do any less in the second half because of where you were and because of his shaky second quarter?
No, I don't care at all about what happened. I'll never care about what he did. I don't care if he threw four picks in the first half. I'm not going to change. I'm going to have ultimate trust in him and continuing to lead this offense. And so I've told him that from the start. And so I'll never back away from that. And so what I'll do is I'll try to protect him at times in certain ways, but he won't know when I'm protecting him. It'll be by me doing it my own way. He's going to cut it loose. And if he starts getting into a shell, then we all get into a shell.
Defense came up big, it seemed like, when you needed it most. After the two giveaways in the first half, three and outs, and two straight turnovers, takeaways in the second half, what was the key to the whole defense?
So I thought it was pretty neat that after sudden change, with two interceptions, we got 2-3 and outs by the defense. That's awesome. And so that's there's not a lot of teams in the NFL that have, I think, that mentality and that of what where our defense is playing right now. The last two games, now we had the difficulties there in the third and fourth quarter against Green Bay, but for the most part right now, our defense is playing fast. They're flying around, and so they helped us out offensively. They helped the offense out, and there's going to be times where the offense is going to help the defense out. So that's just the way it goes. In the end, the only thing that matters is that W. That's it.
What was the key to executing the shovel pass touchdown?
To read the defense and pick either option A or B. I mean, there's a couple options on that, and so for him, he made a great decision with that. And it's a play that we have in our offense. We have different ways to do it and to get to it. And so it was neat to see that come to fruition.
But he can give it to Tariq if he feels
maybe. I can't tell you everything.
Roquan and improvements he showed this week.
Yeah, so it was exciting to see his focus the whole week of practice, and then to see him pregame here and just kind of walk by him and see how he's feeling. And that he was completely focused and ready to go. The lights were not too bright for him, and I think you saw that he was out there running around, flying around, making tackles, and you know, that's what we want from him.
Now, what did you learn about your guys this week and how they reacted?
Well, they reacted really well to a tough loss, one that stung for so many reasons. But we were able to, as a group, put it aside. And so there's that balance of, you know, myself as a coach teaching them that this is going to happen. But the message to them before the game was it's time to you know, stop barking. It's time to start biting. And really, I mean that. You know, the talk is cheap. Let's go out and let's produce and let's play and let's finish. Let's play. We have it there. Remember last week I told you we knew it was there to reach for it. We could grab it. I felt like, you know, that our team got better today, and now we need to use this as a building block for next week.
What was your view of what they did to your running game tonight?
Well, they did some good things. They were doing some things personnel-wise. But I think for the most part for us, some of our mentality of it was we wanted to try to stay a little bit aggressive and get some of the run game going through the pass game if it was some shorter things, and then just kind of let the run game take over in the third and fourth quarter. Now, it didn't naturally happen that way, but sometimes that's what you hope happens.
Matt, what did you like about the short passing game in the second half particularly?
Well, you know, Mitch was efficient. I think, I don't know what his final numbers were. I think he was either 9 for 10 or you know, I don't 12 or 14. So he was completing the ball. And then some of those are like the run game. It continues to keep the clock going, and then you pick and choose your shots. You want to be calculated with that. But anytime you have efficient passing, and whenever your completion percentage is high, you're doing something right. And then you just hope that within those you're able to have some shots downfield and get some chunks as well.
Given your path to this point, personally, what does this win mean to you, your first win as a head coach?
It feels good. It's for me, though, it's really more about, and I mean this, it's just more about us. And it's just so neat to start here from my first meeting, team meeting with this team, and meeting all the guys and seeing us grow. And so I'm just really looking forward to the future of this team, and I'm anxious to see how we respond to not only tough losses like Green Bay, but now how do we respond to a good win for us? And sometimes those are just as hard. So I'll continue to do everything I can on a short week here to get them prepared and ready, and then we'll be on the road there to Arizona.
Watching the game,
they gave me a game ball, pretty neat. 2-0, Prince. I wanted to give it back to him.
I know you only had a chance to watch the game in real time.
Yeah.
But were there things tonight that you saw in real time that Mitch did better tonight than he did in the first game?
Yeah, he was. Both games were, for him, I thought his footwork was better today. Not as much eyes at the line of scrimmage. He made some good runs, had a couple scrambles. He had that one in the first or second quarter that was nice. So I'll be anxious to go back and check the tape out and kind of see progression-wise where he's at. And then sometimes they're going to get you with some of their blitzes where you're hot and you got to throw hot, so it looks like you're throwing quick, but you have to or you're not protected. But he was this is going to be fun. It really is, and I'm excited for our future together. I'm excited for this offense to continue figuring out how we build this identity. And I think hopefully you're going to see that each game it's going to subtly get better and better. And then ultimately in the end, we hope it's really rolling.
Do you have a sense for his clock tonight?
For Mitch's clock? Yeah, pretty good. I thought his clock was good. I had no issues with either, you know, getting rid of the ball right away too early or hanging on to it.
Would that be something that would go in that better?
That's for sure. For sure better. Timing was better. I think his eyes were better. Okay. He saw things pretty well. And I'll tell you though, but going back to Green Bay, his eyes weren't bad. I mean, I think he's gonna keep getting better.
When did you or Vic decide that Roquan would start this week, and when did you let him know?
We discussed it earlier in the start of the week, and probably I don't know. It was more so probably that Wednesday, right when we wanted him to get the reps in practice. So we let them know that this is probably the direction we're going to go, and then as we continue to go more and more, we pretty much told him he's going to start. Huh? He's okay. Yeah. He did his ankle, but he was in there. They had a little disco ball in there. And he's in there dancing, so he's fine.
Matt, how did the defense's play affect your play calling, if at all? As you kind of get a sense for the flow and how they're getting after Russell and the stops they're making?
It does affect it. And when you have the defense that we have, you have to be a little more cautious with the aggressiveness of wanting to go for it on fourth down. You almost not that you want to be too aggressive, but you almost have to play that field position there for a little. Again, we're up 14, and we just got a turnover, and we went run, run, run. Well, part of that is if we're going to punt them back in and back them up inside the 5 or 10 and end up being the 1, but they had to use their timeout at the end. And so there's a couple ways to look at it, but we knew we were just going to go run, 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 make them use their timeout, flip the field, and make them go 99 yards or, you know, whatever it is. So that's a part of it.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Okay, there's the head coach, Matt Nagy. After the Bears beat the Seahawks, went maybe a little overboard in defending Mitch tonight, but hey, it's easier to do that after a win. We're not going to play Mitch for you. One thing I did want to point out, though, that he said that I thought was interesting was he thinks that dwelling on his mistakes is hurting him. Like, maybe he spent too much time last week worrying about the things he did wrong. Much easier to do that, to dwell on mistakes after a loss than a win. So maybe he can flip the page a little bit faster. He's going to have to. It's a short week now. Playing on Monday night, now going to Sunday, and it's a trip out west. But I just thought that was interesting, the sort of confession from Mitch, too.
Well, it's good. Look, I don't want to say it's good. His mentality to all of this, I think, has been very professional. And you can see that there's some frustration there. There's some impatience there. He wants things to click right away. And I think it's really starting to get to him. But resetting his mind, I think Matt Nagy has the right messages to him. Everybody brings up Pat Mahomes in his success last year. You know, Pat Mahomes, if we want to play devil's advocate, did have a full year of sitting on the bench and listening to Matt Nagy.
Yep.
Okay, he had that one start. But other than that,
But he was developing under Matt Nagy and Alex Smith.
Yes, yes.
Not behind Mike Glennon in a John Fox dialogue.
Yo, completely different situations. The Chiefs actually had the ideal situation that the Bears were looking for. I mean, Alex Smith had his best year, and they still gave up on him because of Patrick Mahomes. I think you're seeing why. But who's to say that Patrick Mahomes is going to be the same quarterback a few weeks from now? We've seen the ebbs and flows of the Kansas City Chiefs.
They will adjust. The defenses will adjust.
And I think the Steelers might be bad. But anyway, give Trubisky some time.
All right. We need to get out of here. It's almost 1 a.m. as we record this thing. I got to be on television in like 5 minutes, it feels like.
You going into the studio?
Oh, yeah.
No bedtime, table side.
I'll take a nap. Okay. I think I'm just going to go to the radio station and sleep on a couch for a couple hours.
All right.
Love these night games. Yeah. Love these night games. But the Bears do win. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. It's a short week. We'll get right back at it. Be with you on Thursday previewing next week's game against the Cardinals. You can read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicago, suntimes.com. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate when you do that. Go do it right now. Apple Podcasts. Do it on your app. It's on your phone. You can just hit 5 stars.
He's actually mimicking doing stuff on his phone right now.
Yeah,
people.
You can do
you
that.
Have your actual phone right there.
I know, but I've already rated the podcast, I think. Okay. Maybe I haven't.
Did you put a comment in there?
No.
That best would be, podcast ever, dude.
That would be weird. But you can. You can. It's right here. 5 stars. You click it, and then it says submitted. Thanks for your feedback. I just did it. It was that fast. All right. We'll talk to you on Thursday. How's that sound?
Yep. See ya.